Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we are starting this new sermon series based off our Lenten devotional. Listen to him. And the daily devotions kind of walk you through that with JD. But we began this season of Lent on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. We had our little drop-by service with a little devotional, and you could come up and get your ashes. And we kind of, during that time, acknowledged our sinfulness, that we're not God. But then we also acknowledged our mortality. James goes as far to say that your life and my life is but a vapor compared to eternity. And so it kind of humbles us, and it reminds us of our desperate need for a Savior. And so the whole hope, the whole prayer for this Lenten journey that we're about to go on is that there will be deep personal transformation. That there will be deep corporate transformation. That we will experience an awakening here of the Holy Spirit, but that it won't just stay here, that when we go out there, we will respond in obedience. Now we're going to start this journey, which is really a hard place for me to start. We're going to start this journey on top of the mountain with Transfiguration. And some of you may say, well, that's one of the most glorious scenes in the Bible. Why is that hard to start? Because the lectionary, the liturgical calendar, did it last week. And we're doing it this week. That's the way the sermon series starts. So I had to get over that. But we are going to see one of the most glorious scenes in all of Scripture today. It's on page 843 if you're in one of the Emmanuel Bibles. If you're on the YouVersion app, it's there for you. But if you can and your health allows you, I invite you to stand as we read the gospel together today. Luke chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 28. And this is the scene on the mountain with Jesus. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings or houses, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Father God, humble our hearts and use these words. Your grace is always sufficient for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So about 8 days after these sayings, what sayings? Don't you love that when you pick up a scripture verse and it tells you to remember back to what just happened and you have no idea what just happened? That's where you say, yeah, I do. But you see, sometimes we just take our portion of Scripture, especially in our Bibles where they put those little subheadings. How many of you had a subheading? And it said something like Transfiguration or something like that, right? It makes it look like it's kind of set apart, but it's not. This is part of a bigger story. So I just want to back up quickly with you. About 8 days before we see this scene on the mountain, Jesus is describing and declaring himself as the promised Messiah who has to die and has came to do just that. He's also now told them that if you want to follow me, it requires the same thing. Now, that's some pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? So heavy that I think it's time for a break. And so that's why Jesus takes these three up on the mountain. But then it says 8 days after Jesus says these things or these sayings. There's one particular that I think we need to hear before we start this Lenten journey together. Jesus says to his disciples in verse 20 of the same chapter that we're in, he says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? So I can't really think of a better place to start this journey because our answer will determine how willing we are to listen to Jesus. How willing we are to give of ourselves to listen to Jesus. If your answer to that question is, well, Jesus is kind of who my grandmother said I needed in my life to not go to hell, then he's your fire insurance policy. And the odds are you don't do a whole lot to deepen your walk with him. But if you get on the other extreme and you say, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, hopefully you're listening more intently to what he has told you to do. And you're doing your very best to be obedient. But maybe, just maybe, somebody might be willing to say, he's not just my Lord and my Savior. He's not just what keeps me from spending eternity outside of heaven. He's my all in all. He's my absolute everything. And if that's the case, then you should not be able to go through your day without communicating with that Savior. How you answer that question about Jesus will tell you all you need to know about the journey ahead. So now let's return to the mountain where this amazing thing kind of takes place. It says there were two men, Moses and Elijah were there, and they appeared in glorious splendor, some translations say, and they were talking with Jesus. I don't know if you see the irony here, but Moses has always identified the law of God to his people. Elijah has always kind of been the example of what all the prophets said God would do. And they're in all of Jesus while Peter's in all of them. Because they're in all of Jesus because Jesus stands there talking to them as the completed law and the fulfilled prophecies. We see after his resurrection that he clearly says that all the law and all the prophets were about me. And we see this taking place on the mountain. But poor Peter, he's got a little misunderstanding. Anybody relate to Peter? Anybody want to admit they're kind of like Peter? Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glory talking with Jesus, and then we see later on that they couldn't really see what was going on because they were tired. Anybody else tired? That hour got me. I'm not even going to lie to you. It got me. Like I was laying there last night and it got late and I thought, man, my phone's already changed, and I realized it hadn't, but it was going to in about 20 minutes. So I got to bed and before I closed my eyes, the alarm was going off. Says they weren't fully awake, and I wonder How many times in our walk with Jesus are we not fully awake? And so I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but I'm going to answer that maybe to try to let you see that it's the truth for all of us at some point. Because there was a time in my faith journey that I had just graduated from college. I had moved back home. I was 14 days away from marrying this wonderful woman. And I knew we had to get to church. Because if we got to church, he'd take care of our marriage. Y'all thought that kind of stuff too, right? He'll bless my family if I go to church. So we started going to church. And for some reason, it must have been my loud mouth and also my need for community service hours so I could graduate, because I didn't go to chapel. How ironic is that? Another sermon, another day. But I got very involved pretty quick at the church we were attending. I quickly became the head of the biggest sports ministry in our district, school district. Because of that, I got appointed to the church council. Because of that, they let me take over a Sunday school class I had no desire to teach. They said, well, just do it till we find somebody. They found somebody when I quit. But don't do that. That's not a Jesus thing to do, those of you that know what I'm talking about. But I did all these things, and man, I even gave gospel presentations at some of these major events. And one time we gave the altar call, and there were kids and parents filling up the altar to the point where we had to line them down the aisles. And I'm not proud of that time in my life, because I was learning a lot about Jesus. And I thought I was hearing him telling me to do things. But man, I was kind of half asleep, because I saw great things happening. I saw him moving mountains, but I never saw the glory of who he was. Have you ever been in that place where you've learned about Jesus? You've even seen him do some things, but you missed him in the midst of it. So what would you say? Would you say you're fully awake as we begin this Lenten journey? God speaks very clearly, and this is kind of where we are from here to Lent's over. It's where the title comes from. He sees that Peter and them are getting it wrong, so this cloud comes up, and he says, basically, shh, stop it. This is my son. He's the one I've chosen to fulfill the law and the prophet. Listen to him. You ever had somebody not listen to you? Or have you got a kid? My goodness. Listen to your mother. Why?
Because I said so.
There's no other. Dads, talk to me for a minute. There's no other answer needs to be given. I told you to. I'm just glad God doesn't talk to us that way. Listen to my son. I said, so, you know, I mean, could you imagine like this deep, like, you know, I don't know, voice coming down. We digress. But the reality of it, this Lent, if we're going to go on this journey, if we're going to really try to listen to Jesus, it's going to require some things. See, to follow Jesus, it requires actually obeying him. And obeying him actually requires listening to him. You can't just do it on your own. You hear what he tells you. You listen to it. And then you can respond in obedience and follow. Have you ever used this phrase? I find myself using these five words a lot. I need to hear this. Have you ever used that? Maybe in a car and you're laughing and carrying on, but the GPS is talking in the background and now you don't know where you are. Shh, I need to hear this. Recalculating. If you'd have been quiet, I could have heard her. That's just we're the only ones that have had that fight, baby. We're going to work on lying next week, because some of these people are not telling the truth. the TV. We have this issue at our house that I'll spend 2 to 3 to 4 hours with a team that I'm emotionally connected to. And just because the game's over doesn't mean you can start talking to me. I got to hear what the coach has to say. He's been talking to the players for 3 hours. It's his turn to talk to me. Shh. Get out of here with that loud toy. I need to hear this. But to listen to Jesus, that's what we first have to get to the point where we know that we need to hear it. And sadly, sometimes in the church, what happens is we know we need to hear Jesus, but we're so busy finding out who is and isn't listening that we fail to listen ourselves. And I understand it. It burdens my heart too. I wish I had a sermon that just would make everybody dedicated to this church. I just don't have it. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, not mine. I mean, I wish I had one like Pentecost where just boom, 20 for 20 accomplished, 3,000 people. Trustees, we need to meet. We got nowhere to put these people. But I don't have that sermon. I don't have it. But what we do have is the same God, the same Savior, the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me, speaks to Ron, speaks to Ruby, speaks to Gretchen, speaks to Angie. And if all of us would just only focus on listening to Him, oh, what a difference it would make. Let's stop worrying about what the people beside us are doing, and let's just live our lives in such a way to where, y'all, I got to hear this. I got to know what Jesus is telling me to do, because without it, I don't know how to get through my day. One expert says that his research proves that the average person speaks 860,341,500 words in their lifetime. That's a lot of words. But now think about how many you might hear. Think about the number of people in your family. Times that number by 3, 4, 2. Think about the people just on your pew or just in this sanctuary this morning. Think about if we added the kids, their numbers probably, they may say the same amount of words, they just say it in half the time. Now, the King James Bible is said to approximately have 783,137 words. 36,450 of those are actually recorded words of Jesus. If we take out the duplicated words that Jesus spoke, it's said that he really only used 20,000 words in his Gospels. Wouldn't it be wise if we spent our time listening to those 20,000 words? I know you're wondering, and I'm running low on time, so I shouldn't share, but I'm going to anyway. Women are said to speak 20,000 words a day. She ain't here. Yes, Lord. But men are said to speak 7,000 words a day. Ladies, don't be upset. There's a sermon series coming later. It's called Listen to Her. Get it? This church, we're going on this journey. And it's going to start here with all the glory. But if we're distracted, if we're kind of asleep, we're going to miss who Jesus really is, and we're going to miss what he has to say to us. So this Lent, I want us all, myself, I got to deal with me before I can help you, but I want us to take, in the scriptures that we're covering, it's a little over 11,000 of those red words. But this Lent, I pray that we don't listen to anything more with more attention than we listen to those 11,000 words of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.